Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
All right. How many are glad to know that it's 33 degrees outside? Woo! It is chilly today. Feels like winter is in the air, but you're in God's house and we have heat. And everyone says, yes, thank you, Jesus. Open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8 and Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3 near the end of the message, so maybe stick something in there, a bulletin or part of your bulletin, maybe stick that insert about those small groups. We've got some great small groups in November. Stick that in Colossians 3, but look at Romans chapter 8 first off this morning. How many of you like the show Dancing with the Stars? Some of you do. It's a kind of this TV sensation that's been going on for 8 seasons now, and it's a hit with many people. I try not to let my wife watch it because I don't want her to say, honey, let's take up ballroom dancing, okay? I don't think I want to go there. But this show, it takes stars from all walks of life, actors, actresses, performing artists, recording artists, comedians, athletes, professional athletes, all different kinds, and it pairs them up with a professional ballroom dancer, and then they have to learn different dance routines. And sometimes it's quite comical, especially watching their early practices, because most of these people know little, if anything, about ballroom dancing. And so it's really interesting. And to be successful in ballroom dancing, the biggest thing is you have to be in step with your partner. If you're in step with your partner, then everything's going to flow well. And today, as we launch into week number 2 of our Samson series, I want to talk about walking in the Spirit. Last week, as we were talking about Samson, we noted that he was the complete opposite of walking in the Spirit. When Paul talks about in Galatians 5, you either walk in the flesh or you walk in the Spirit, Samson was the poster child for walking in the flesh. He did not effectively walk in the Spirit. And just that phrase itself, I found myself asking myself this week, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Okay? That phrase, just think about it. Walk in the Spirit sounds a little mystical or a little spooky. If you go to an unchurched person and you'd say to them, what does walk in the Spirit mean? I mean, they're going to probably maybe think of something related to Halloween. I mean, there is some kind of spirit that's walking, or maybe the spirit has possessed you. You're walking in that spirit, or maybe you're in a hypnotic trance or something like that. The term walk in the Spirit, maybe we don't really completely comprehend what that means. And as I thought about it, and as I began to dig into the Bible, I think maybe the simplest, most concise answer comes from the illustration we just talked about with Dancing with the Stars, and it's in your sermon notes this morning. Walking in the Spirit means being in step with your partner, the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means to be in step with the Holy Spirit. He is your partner, to be in step with Him. If we are Christians, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. How many of you are aware of that? 1 Corinthians 6, you're the temple of God, the Spirit dwells in you. It means He's taken up residence. He lives in you, so He's your partner. Jesus said in John 14, 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything I said to you. Jesus calls Him the Helper. And that word Helper means one called alongside. It's like one that's called to come right alongside of you and to walk with you. He's especially been called to come to your aid. He's come to help you. And so the Holy Spirit is right here with you and I. Think of that. He is right here with you to help you, to lead you, to guide you. He is your partner. I want you to say that to your neighbor this morning. The Holy Spirit's your partner. You maybe don't think of that, but if we don't think of Him as being our partner, there's a good chance we're not going to walk with Him. Because He's not our partner, He's not with us, He's somewhere else. He is our partner, and we need to be in step with Him. The word walk comes from two Greek words, and they come together and form a compound word. And really what it means, the two words mean to tread and all around. So it means wherever you tread, wherever you step, wherever you walk, all around, that's what it means. Everywhere you go, everything you do, every step you take, everywhere you tread, you're walking. And so to walk in the Spirit means that everywhere you go, you're in step with Him. You're in line with Him. You're in line with His values, His priorities, His character, His agenda. That's what it really means to walk in the Spirit, is to be in step with Him and in line with Him every single place you go, every single thing you do, every moment of the day. And I want you to keep that definition in mind as we read our text in Romans chapter 8 this morning. Let's pick it up in verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh." You see, it says, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of flesh on account of sin. And He condemned sin in the flesh." It's referring to Jesus Christ coming to earth, becoming a man, and dying on the cross for our sin. That's what Jesus did. He condemned sin by His death, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. And look at this. "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now stop right there for a moment. Notice that these two verses here use the terms walking and living interchangeably. So as we live our life, it's walking, and so we need to live in the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. It's being in step with our Spirit. Our whole life needs to be in step with the Spirit. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity." Enmity means hatred or hostility. It's hatred or hostility against God, "for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Okay, so notice here, walking in the Spirit's a pretty big deal, because if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. And your life is hatred towards God. It's opposing God. It's fighting God. And so Paul sums everything up with this declaration in verse 9, and he's talking to Christians here, but he says, you Christians, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, we just said that the Holy Spirit lives in us, so we are in the Spirit already. And it is possible for you and I to live in the Spirit, but the devil will tell us, you can't do that, you can't overcome that, you can't be in step with Him. But friends, that is a lie from the pit of hell, because it says you're in the Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in you. So it is possible to live in the Spirit. What is the key to doing that? How do we do that? I want you to look back at verse 5, okay? I think the key is right here. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds." Underline that phrase in your Bibles. "Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Living in the Spirit all has to do with our mind. It has to do with what's between our ears, what we think on, what we dwell on, what our predisposition is as we go throughout the day. That determines if we will walk in the flesh or if we're going to walk in the Spirit. And Paul uses the word set. That word set, it means to direct your mind to a thing, to strive for it, to seek after it, to devote your affections to it. And so Paul is saying we have got to set our minds, devote our affections, our desires on God and on the things of God. And we have a choice to make. I can either walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. And I have to purposefully direct my mind to the things of God. I have to do that because here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, He sets up residence. He's our senior partner, but He does not force us to walk with Him. He doesn't take our hand behind the back and twist and say, okay, do what I tell you to do. He's a gentleman, and He wants us to willingly cooperate. Why is that? Because that's what a love relationship is all about. If He forced us, that would be a dictatorship. And He's not a dictator. He loves you, and He wants relationship with you. Jeremiah 17:9 says, however, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, even though Jesus lives inside of us, we still have our fleshly nature, and we will have it with us until the day we go to heaven. It's not eradicated when we become a Christian. And there's this process that we have to go through of dying to the flesh and putting on the mind of Christ so that we're in step with Him, because we're inherently evil. And here's the thing. If I do not deliberately set my mind on God, I default to the flesh every time. Because the flesh is deceitful and it's wicked and it's in us. And we have that battle. In your notes, write this down. How do we walk in the Spirit? We need to recalibrate. You say, what in the world does recalibrate mean? We spell it up there for you. What it means is to remeasure, to replan, to reexamine, to reevaluate, and to realign up again. We need to recalibrate ourselves all the time. And there's a phrase in your notes, it rhymes. Align my mind with the divine. Align my mind with the divine. I have to align my mind, my thinking, my desires with God, with what God wants, with who God is. And that's what I have to do in my life. There's a constant recalibration. Every moment of every day, I need to align myself with God. Paul talks about this a few chapters later in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It all has to deal with our mind. Why? Because look at verse 7 in Romans 8. The carnal mind is enmity. It's hatred. It's hostility towards God. It hates the things of God. Here's the thing, friends. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but our flesh is there too. There's a battle going on. It's like a tug of war. Did you realize there's a tug of war going on in your life? You maybe don't realize that, but this tug of war takes place several times a day in a variety of circumstances. Everything can be fine, and all of a sudden at once, boom, you find yourself having a battle on your hands. For example, maybe you have a coworker or a fellow classmate who dresses very provocatively. A few years ago, I took Spanish at the college, and there was a female student who was very immodest in her dress. She wore low-cut t-shirts and tight-fitting sweaters and form-fitting jeans and skin-tight clothes and short skirts, and she sat in front of me, and every day it was a battle. It was a challenge. Because you see, when I walked into class, my eyes say, look. Look at her. Look at what she's wearing today. I mean, look what you can see. It's hanging out all over the place. And the Spirit of God is saying, look away. Look at God. Don't think about that. And it was a battle. And you see, what I had to do is I had to recalibrate. I had to align my mind. And I had to say, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart. And they will see God. I had to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I had to say Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look lustfully upon a young woman. I had to remind myself that the flesh is never satisfied. We talked about it last week. Psalm 16:11 says that In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you win the battle. You win the battle. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. You can win the battle. You see, it's areas of temptation, areas of sin, but it's not just areas of sin. How about this one? You receive a phone call from your boss and he tells you you've been laid off, effective immediately. And out of nowhere, you feel fear closing in around you. It's like a dark, gloomy cloud has settled in. Worry begins to creep in. How am I going to pay for the mortgage? Put food on the table. This is going to wipe out my savings. Where in this economy am I going to find a good job? I mean, there's no Christmas for the kids. You begin to think thoughts, God, why did you let this happen? Do you love me? Do you care about me? And in that moment, you have to align your mind with the divine, with God, and you need to begin to call out Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. I'll strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my right hand. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Romans 8:35, who will separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril? And all these things are more than conquerors. Nothing's able to separate me from the love of God. Align your mind with God. When you do that, he gives you victory. One final scenario. Sometimes we can sense God prompting us to engage a non-Christian in a spiritual conversation, to witness to them. Maybe it's a question he wants you to ask, or maybe there's someone sick and he says, I want you to pray for that person, or invite him to church, or, hey, come to the Billy Graham event. I mean, we're showing this video. We talked about it last week. We're showing this video at my house. It's about hope. Come and be a part of that. And what happens? Our mind begins to tell us, no one's going to come to your house. You got to be crazy. They're not going to come to church. What if you pray for the person and they're not healed? They're going to make fun of you. And we begin to have all these doubts. God can't use me. If I speak up, I'm going to make a fool. I don't know what to say. And it's in those moments we need to align our mind with God. We need to call upon, like Romans 10:14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they haven't heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You see, God needs us. Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how is it seasoned? It's good for nothing and thrown out. You're the light of the world, a city that's set on the hill that can't be hidden. Let your light shine before men to see your good works and glorify God. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, tongue talking, then Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses. Friends, align your mind with God. Recalibrate. Give him a hand this morning. Thank you, our actors. This is in your notes this morning, there is a spiritual tug of war that's going on inside of you several times through the day. And you and I have a choice of what we're going to do, because our spirit and our flesh are battling, pulling back and forth. In which direction are you going to go? Are you going to give in to temptation and sin? Are you going to give in to fear and doubt and worry? Are you going to give in to the aspect that you can't be used of God? You can't witness. Nothing's going to happen. Why even try? Or instead, are you going to say, no, God can use me. He is all powerful, and it's not my ability, it's his ability. It's his ability that lives in me. The Almighty God can give me power over sin. I can overcome anything. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in doubt. I don't have to live in compromise or in unholiness. God is my strength. And friends, I challenge you to begin to be aware of the tug of war, of the fight that is inside. And when you realize there's this tug in any area, God is saying it's time to align your mind with me. Align ourselves with God. That's what it takes. Your mental predisposition will determine which side wins, the spirit or the flesh. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3, and in the time we have left, I'm going to really quickly share with you some practical ideas, because Paul talks about how to align our mind with the Spirit of God in Colossians chapter 3. Next week, we're going to continue talking about walking in the Spirit. I'm going to share three areas that need recalibration. Those three areas tie in with the skit. I want you to try to figure out what those are, okay? Try to figure out. Remember the skit that you just saw, and what are those three areas that tie into it? We'll have a little fun next week. But Colossians 3:1, this is what Paul says. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, there's that word set, and he's talking about the mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Friends, he's talking about walking in the Spirit, just like he did in Romans 8. And he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death the members which are on the earth. In other words, he's saying, do not think about the things of the flesh. These things are off limits. And he goes on to say what they are, what we need to die to, not think on. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. It's because of these things that the wrath of God is coming on the sons of men, the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now yourselves put off all of these. Put off the anger, the wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image. You see that renewing of the mind here he's talking about? Put to death the flesh, renew your mind. And now, verse 12, he tells us what to think on. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Here he's talking about the walking in the Spirit. Put to death the things of the flesh, and put on the things of God. And now, these next two verses are the practical steps to walking in the Spirit. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let's look at that one right there. Number one in your notes, the first step is dwell on Scripture through memorization and meditation. Dwell on Scripture through memorization and meditation. Friends, we need to be people that are in the Word of God, and we're letting the Word of God transform us and renew us. It says in the Bible to take every thought captive and bring it obedient to Christ. You see this thread all throughout the Bible about renewing the mind, and the key is, what do I renew it with? 2020. Desperate Housewives. No, with the Word of God. My mind needs to be renewed with the Word of God, and we refill our mind with the Scriptures. And here's the thing. If you struggle with fear, then look for Bible verses that have fear. Say, I don't know how to find that. I don't know where to start. How many of you can use the internet? Raise your hands high. How many can use the internet? Okay. Those who can't, you can go get a Strong's Concordance from our library or buy one at the bookstore. But both ways, you can either use Strong's Concordance or the internet. Write this down in your notes, BibleGateway.com. All one word, BibleGateway.com. BibleGateway.com, okay? And it's a dot as a period, not D-O-T, okay. All right, BibleGateway.com. And there's a place in there. You can type in any word, and it finds every single verse in the Bible that has that word in it or that phrase. So type up the word fear on BibleGateway.com, and it'll pull up all these verses, and you'll find a number of verses. Begin to read through them and let God show you which verses are power verses for you. A power verse is a verse that the Holy Spirit quickens to your heart and you say, man, this is for me. This is something I can sink my teeth into. This is something I can really get a hold of and I can base my life off of. And then you begin to just download it like you would an old VCR tape, put it in there and rewind it and play it out again. Maybe you pick 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And you would say, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And whenever you feel fear, you just play that. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Still feel fearful? Rewind it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. And if you're more technical, then you've got it on CD, and you just go, beep, hit the button, and you replay it again. And replay the scripture over and over in your mind. And you get maybe 4 or 5 different scriptures in different areas that you deal with: fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, temptation, lust, lying, dishonesty, whatever it might be, whatever you're struggling with in your life, anger. If you're struggling with finances, God, how am I going to be provided for? Begin to find scriptures. Type in those words, type in words that mean the same thing. And here's another good thing. Type in the words that mean the opposite. What's the opposite of fear? Courage. Faith, I heard someone say. What else? Trust. You type those words into BibleGateway.com. You type in courage, and you might see, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for I am God, I am at your side. You type in trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. You put those verses in your life. Actually, I think it's Proverbs 3:6. Sorry for that. You put those verses in your life, build your life, dwell on Scripture, and it helps you to be aligned with God and walk in the Spirit throughout the day. Dwelling on Scripture through memorizing and meditating on it, bringing it up over and over, will help you and I to walk in the Spirit. Let's keep going. Paul goes on to say, the next aspect is, he says, teaching and admonishing one another. That word admonish, it means to warn, caution, or gently reprove. To put to one's mind. Paul is talking about here, we need to be in admonishing relationships. We need to connect with people. We need accountability in our lives. Because here's the thing, the devil wants to keep us in secret and isolated from other believers. He wants sin or struggles that we have to stay with us and that we don't share them. Friend, a burden shared is a burden that is halved. And when you share a temptation you're going through, it gives you power to overcome it. I remember a few weeks ago, we had missionary Bob Van Wyk to Botswana, South Africa, here in our service. When Bob and I were both pastoring in Iowa, we were about 90 miles apart, and we were accountability partners for each other. We would meet maybe once a month and then call each other other times. And we had a card that had a number of different areas on it. Maybe it was our spiritual life, family life, finances, integrity, all these different areas. And there was questions, and we just asked each other these questions. If we had any struggles, anything we're wrestling with, any problems, any griefs, any temptations, we would share those with each other. We would pray for each other throughout the week. We'd call each other up. Hey, how you doing with what we talked about 2 days ago? We were there for each other. We admonished each other. And here's the thing. Knowing that I was going to talk to Bob, I can't remember how many times I found myself saying, Craig, if you do this, you're going to have to tell Bob about it. And it was like, okay, I don't want to have to tell Bob I did that, so I'm not going to do it. And you see, when you have someone you're accountable to, it's iron sharpening iron. You're an armor bearer for each other, and you make each other stronger. And God wants us to be accountable. It talks about in the Bible, confess your faults to one another and you will be healed. It's not that I go to someone, confess my faults, and they forgive me. No, Jesus does. But there's something, when I bring a struggle out in the open, whatever it is, lust, swearing, lying, fear, somehow, some way, and I'm honest and accountable with them, and we pray together, it heals me and helps me. But here's the thing, we have to stay accountable continually, because you let it off, and it loosens a chink in our armor. Being in an accountable relationship, that's the second way. Accountability is what keeps you and I in line with the Spirit. The third thing is praising and worshiping God. If you're taking notes, praising and worshiping God. Look at the next part of verse 16. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's having an attitude of worship. Singing music about God, His ways, His character, His love, His faithfulness, His concern for us. And as we praise and worship God, it takes our mind off our problems or whatever it is, and we focus on Him. I remember times in my life when I was going through really difficult circumstances and situations, there was maybe one or two tapes, okay? It was several years ago. I'd put those tapes in. I don't even think they work anymore. I'd put those tapes in, and now I have CDs, and just replay those songs over and over, and it built up faith, it built up courage, it built up thoughts of comfort and assurance that God was there. When you and I become a person of worship, where worship's flowing out of my heart, it helps me walk in the Spirit on a regular basis. And then area number four is praying in tongues throughout the day. In verse 16, it talks about spiritual songs, and one commentator noted that that is really Spirit-activated songs. You say, what does Spirit-activated means? It means that the Holy Spirit sings through you. In your prayer language, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in the Spirit. You can pray with your understanding. You can sing in the Spirit. You can sing with understanding. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 14:15. And praying in tongues and singing in tongues is a way where, get this, the Holy Spirit who lives in you is now praying and worshiping God through you. And He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going to face in the moments and the hours to come. And He actually builds you up. Jude 1:21 says that when we pray in the Spirit, it builds us up. And so when I just pray in tongues, and you can, the great thing about praying in tongues, you don't have to be thinking about anything. You can be driving down the road and praying in tongues. You can be doing dishes and pray in tongues or sing in tongues. You can be doing yard work. There's a lot of things you can do throughout your day. And friends, as we get the Word of God in us and we dwell on it and meditate in it, as we build accountable relationships, as we praise and worship God, as we pray and sing in the Spirit, it begins to help us to align our lives with Him. And I want to wrap this up with Romans 8:9. It was the very last verse we read. Paul said, you are not, everyone say not, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Friends, does the Spirit of God dwell in you this morning? If so, you can be an overcomer and you can win the tug of war of whatever it is you've been struggling with. Whatever it is you came in here today feeling like, man, I'm not going to make it, friends. The Spirit of God is in you, and you can have victory today. I want everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.